Mission Church Choir. Amen. Amen. Thank you so, so very much. Amen. Our evangelist is here again tonight. And certainly we had a wonderful time on last night. Preached out of the soul. When it seems like God is taking too long. Amen. When it seems like God is taking too long. And I'm waiting with great anticipation for this word tonight. Share together after the service was over with Pastor William and some of my brothers and with my pastor last night. And we had a wonderful fellowship. And leaving there, I discovered that each of them are sincere about the Word of God. Evangelist back again tonight, and he's none other than Pastor Michael Williams from Topeka, Kansas. And he blessed my soul on last night. And we are waiting tonight to hear a word from the Lord tonight. And I wanted to do my best to try to get him up at least by 8 o'clock. Because I want to give him time to give to us what God has given unto him. And we had our pulpit devotion. I know that you've been praying for the man of God to bring a word tonight. So we're going to get ready to turn him loose tonight and bless us with another word from on high. Savior Jesus Christ, and to the angel of this house, Pastor Hall, and to Dr. J.J. Jones, and if there be any other pastors and ministers in here tonight, we give honor to you, and then to our music staff, and then to all of the choirs that have sung here tonight. Somebody came to have church. Amen. I call your attention tonight. Matthew's chapter 14,
missing at verse 25. Matthew's chapter 14, and commencing at verse 25. When you get it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait a minute and we'll wait on you. Everybody got it?
Amen.
And you'll find these words. Verse 25 says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You may be seated. I want to do it. Want to do it one more time, and I want to look at verse 24 too. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the winds was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I want to talk about tonight. I never would have made it without you. I never would have made it without you. It was after the feeding of the 5,000 with the little boy's lunch. The Bible says that when the people saw the miracles that the master had performed, they wanted to make Jesus king. But however, because Jesus did not come to become king, but he came to make men better. He came to make our lives a whole lot better than what it was. But the problem, brothers and sisters, is that the disciples were more in line with the thinking of the crowd. And Jesus saw the mentality of the crowd, and he saw the thinking of his disciples. And so Jesus says, before my boys start thinking like the crowd, I've got to put them in the ship and send them over to the other side. You see, when they saw the interest of the crowd, the Bible said the disciples was about to forget all that Jesus had been teaching them. And I want to say to somebody here tonight that a whole lot of our churches would be a whole lot better if it wasn't for the crowds that we hang around. A whole lot of our children and our husbands and our wives would be a whole lot better if it wasn't for the crowds that they hang around. Because we want to be like the crowd. We want to act like the crowd. If they wear their pants down, we want to wear our pants down. If they wear their shirt backwards, we want to wear our shirt backwards. If Johnny smoked Mary J. Wanna, you want to smoke Mary J. Wanna. If your friend drank a little E&J brandy, you want to do. Just because you don't act and talk like the crowd doesn't make you any different than the crowd. You are who you are, and you know who you are. You know whose you are, and you know who you represent. Because we represent somebody, and we ought to act different than the crowd. The Bible says that we ought to separate ourselves from among them. We've got to come out from among them. There's nothing wrong with having friends, but you can't do what your friends do. You can't act like your friends act, because your friends may not be a child of God. You got to act different than the crowd. And so there's an old saying that says, birds of a feather flock together. You show me your company, and I'll tell you who you are. You just show me the folks you hanging around, and I'll be able to tell you who you really are. And so Jesus says, before they start thinking like the crowd, I've got to put them in the ship and send them over to the other side.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To keep the disciples from getting sidetracked, the Bible says Jesus put them in the ship and made them sail to the other side.
All right.
But while they were sailing, they ran into some stormy weather. Have I got a witness here? And now the problem is that when they started on this journey, all was well. And now you got to understand that the Sea of Galilee is notorious for its storms, because one minute you can be sailing smooth, and the next minute you can be in a storm. Have I got a witness here? And somebody here tonight can be a witness tonight that life is just like the Sea of Galilee, because you can be doing well one minute, and the next minute you can be in a storm. And I think I need to tell somebody here tonight, don't sit back in your easy chair and act like trouble is not coming to your house. Just like it came to Job's house, trouble will come to your house. Job said, man that is born of a woman has only but a few days, and those days are filled with trouble. Jesus says, in this world ye shall have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. Trouble knows no name. Trouble sees no color. Trouble has no respectable person. None of us are exempt from trouble. Trouble will come to all of our houses. I need to tell you tonight, you can go to bed laughing, but you can wake up in the morning crying. Grandmama said, if it ain't one thing, it always seemed to be another. When I nail one end down, another end pops up. When I solve one problem, another problem comes up. But there's somebody here tonight who just got in a storm. Somebody is getting ready to come out of a storm. Somebody is in the midst of a storm right now. To tell you tonight, baby, you never would have made it if it had not been for the Lord on your side, baby. Because David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. Even in the midst of your storm, you got God with you. Even when you're down and out, God is still with you. And to make matters worse, the Bible said that Jesus has gone apart into the mountains to pray. He sends the disciples over to the other side. And he goes to the mountains to pray. Now, you ought to be glad that somebody prayed for you. But what better person to have than Jesus himself praying for you? Now, in literally, in reality, Dr. Hall, and some of you may not get this, Jesus is literally praying to himself. I've got to help somebody here, because you got Alpha and Omega. You got the beginning and the end. You got the first and the last. And he's literally Father, because me and the Father is one. And why is he praying? He's praying that their faith fail them not. He's praying that they be able to make it to the other side. Now, first part, I want to raise up tonight that Jesus put them in the ship, and Jesus told them to go over to the other side. And the first thing I want to raise up tonight, that if Jesus says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. Come on here, no matter what, and the reason you're going to make it tonight is because Jesus said you was going to make it. Somebody didn't hear me here tonight. It was not Peter and John that put them in the ship. It was not Paul or Silas that put them in the ship. But it was Jesus himself who put them in the ship. Well, you still didn't get what I'm saying here tonight. Now look at this. If Jesus put them in the ship,
yes, sir.
Jesus knew that a storm was coming. Come on here, y'all, talk to me here tonight. There is no problem, there is no sickness that you don't have that God don't know about. And whenever God puts you in something, God has the opportunity to bring you out of it. Come on here, y'all, talk to me. I mean, if other folks put you in it, you might be in a world of trouble. But because the Lord put you in it, you're going to be all right, baby. Now look at this. Now on your way to the other side, Jesus never said that you weren't going to have any trouble. Because some folks think that life ought to be smooth sailing. But life is not always smooth sailing. Because sometimes God, if God tells us what's going to happen before it happens, some of us may not want to go on the other side. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. God has to allow some things to happen in our life. He had to do something in order to get the disciples from thinking like the crowd. He is the one that put them in the ship. He is the one that made them sail over to the other side, and now that Jesus is nowhere to be found. And somebody here tonight, not only is wrestling with the darkness of your night, but you're wrestling with what looks like to be the disappearance of Jesus. And can I tell somebody here tonight who is going through something, what makes matters worse is that you cannot put your hand on Jesus. Sometimes when you're going through a storm, baby, you can pray all you want to pray. You can read the scripture all you want to read it. But there comes a time that God is not going to speak to you. Because sometimes he says, not right now. Sometimes he says, wait a minute. And then sometimes he has to tell us, not yet. But look at this. He's nowhere to be found. Well, I see some things here. Watch this. The Bible says Jesus constrained the disciples. In other words, he used some physical force to put them in the boat. He used some force to make them get into the boat and go over to the other side. And so here's my point. If Jesus put them in the boat again, Jesus knew that somewhere down the road, trouble was coming. And can I have, I could again tell you tonight that you've got to learn how to trust God in spite of what you're going through. You've got to learn how to hang on in there in the midst of whatever you're going through. Because here it is, Jesus, the weatherman. Here it is, Jesus, the one who created the storm, who created the rain, who created the heaven and the earth. He puts them in the ship. Now look at this. We have what we call meteorologists. They call themselves weatherman. But here it is, the weatherman himself. You see, if somebody here tonight say Luther Vandross, I can say Teddy Pendergrass. If somebody says Patti LaBelle, I can say Aretha Franklin. But when I say Jesus, there's no other name other than the name of Jesus. I mean, because here is Jesus, the weatherman himself. Look, if God can make it rain in Dallas and snow in Kansas City and make the sun shine in Milwaukee, who is the weatherman? If God can take a black and white cow, make him eat green grass and give out white milk and yellow butter, who is the weatherman? If God himself. Storms are in the law of plan. And so, you see, every now and then, he has to send some storms in our lives. You see, because sometimes we get beside ourselves. So sometimes we get too big for our britches, as grandmama said. And every now and then, God has to shake us up a little bit in order to get our attention. And somebody here tonight, you're wondering why you're going through a storm. Maybe God is trying to get your attention. You see, the devil sends storms to hurt us, but God sends storms to help us. Come on, y'all. But I want to submit to you tonight. Every now and then, he sends storms in our lives. But I want to tell you tonight that you are far better off in a storm with Jesus than to be on dry land and don't have him at all. It's better to be sick with the Lord than to have your good health and don't have him at all in your life. And somebody here tonight needs to know that you may be doing well right now, but if you don't have Jesus, you're on your way to hell, baby. And you've got to stop shaking and faking it. And you see, why we down here looking and crooked, God is up there looking and looking. Everything that you do, God is writing down. You see, look at this. The disciples had seen Jesus as landlord. Now they need to see him as sea lord. They saw him operate on the land of their life. They saw him take two fishes and five loaves of bread. They saw him turn water into wine. They saw him tell men to get up off of their beds and mats and start walking. They saw him open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the dead, raise men from dead. But now they need to see him operate on the sea of their lives. And there's some of you here tonight, you've seen God operate in some situations in your life, and now you need to see him operate on the sea of your life while you're going through a storm. And there are a lot of you here who have seen God again work miracles in your life.
Yes, sir.
You see, this storm was simply to prepare the disciples for a greater storm.
Yeah.
You see, some of us, when we go through trouble, we start talking about why me, Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But baby, we always say, why me? But can I ask you a question? Why don't we ask God, why would he be blessing me? Why did you wake me up this morning? Why did you give me the job you gave me? Why did you give me the house you gave me? Why did you bless me like?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And so, brothers and sisters, you see, every storm you have is literally to prepare you for another storm. Just because you got out of one storm don't mean that you're not going to go through another storm. You see, some storms make us better, because the thing that you think just be working for you. Come on, y'all, talk to me here. I mean, you think just because you leave that job that you've been there all of these years, it may not be working against you. It might just be working for you. Because all things work together for the good of those who love the God with the call according to his purpose.
Yes, sir.
Now look at this. As I hurry to a close, you see storms. And this was not the first storm that these guys had been in. You see, you remember the first storm they had got when they got started. They had been fishing all night long, and they had took their nets, and they hadn't caught nothing. And Jesus showed up and says to them, they said, "Look, Jesus, we've been toiling all night long." And I want to tell you, sometimes it looks like in the midst of your trouble that you've been toiling all night long. Some of you have been burning midnight oil all night long, popping pills on top of pills, pacing the floor, biting your fingernails, pulling your hair, trying to get through the night.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All
right. But Jesus says to them, "Cast your net into the sea." And then Peter said, "Look, at thy word, Lord." And I want to tell you, when God tells you to do something, all you do is just do what the Lord says do. And that ought to be a word to somebody here tonight, because some of you are in a storm tonight. Some of you can't make it because you ain't doing what God told you to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look at this. The Bible says it was in the fourth watch of the night. In other words, it was the darkest hour in the disciples' life. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, it looked like it's the darkest hour in our life. When your money can't help you, when your lawyer can't get you out of the way, when your doctor don't have good news for you, when your friends and the psychic line and the palm readers can't help you, but the only thing you got is Jesus. And here it is, the darkest hour of their life. But I got good news for you today, that whenever you go through what you go through, you got to remember that God knows when to show up. I mean, he may not come when you want him to come, but can I tell you, he will show up for you. The Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew thy strength, shall mount up on wings of an eagle." Now watch this. When he showed up, the Bible does not say he came swimming.
No.
He didn't come skydiving. But the Bible says he came walking. And look at what I want to share with you tonight, because that was troubling them. That was giving them problems. That was causing them to be worried. That was about to take their life. Here comes Jesus. Walking on the very thing that is causing them trouble. And I want to tell somebody here tonight that whatever problem you got tonight, God can walk on it, because that is above his head, is beneath his feet. God can walk on your problem. And then I got another good news for you. Whenever God walks on it, it ain't going to look like it looked when he starts walking on it. Look at you. You remember when Jesus showed up for the boys when they were in the other storm? The Bible said Jesus was asleep. And then the Bible said they woke up Jesus and said, "Master, do you care whether we perish or not?" The Bible says Jesus got up and put one foot on the shore. And then he looked at the storm, and the storm looked at Jesus. And the perk that I want to raise up out of that, everything that God made recognize who he is with you and I. Because when the storm looked at Jesus, the storm had to go back to where it came from, because it was looking at its creator. I saw in the text that when Jesus did show up for him, nothing. Ain't nothing can fear us. We ain't afraid of nothing. But sometimes we become afraid when we feel like something that we can't beat, something that we can't master. Then we become afraid. Some of you go to the doctor and the doctor give you some bad news. You become afraid. But I want to tell you, baby, the Bible says to fear thou not. God don't want you to fear anything because God has not given us the spirit of fear. But I want to show you this, then I'm going to get on out of here. Verse 27 says, but straightway Jesus spoke unto them. Now, verse 26 says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Here it is. Jesus comes to deliver them, and they don't even know who he is. Come on here, y'all talk to me here. And here it is, they have been walking with him, eating with him, sleeping with him. And here comes Jesus to deliver them, and they don't even know. And there's somebody here in church tonight. You've been in church all of your life, and you don't even know who he is. Jesus says to Peter, he says, look, Peter, what a man saying about me. Who do they say that I am? And Peter said, look, fellas, let me tell him. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, look, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And whenever you've been close with God, you'll know who God really is. Now look, some of us are so wrapped up into the problem that we can't even see when deliverance has come. Some of you, God has already delivered you out of your problem, but you're so wrapped up in the problem that you can't even see deliverance. And the disciples was afraid. In other words, Jesus says, look, boys, you don't have to cry no more. Look, you don't have to worry no more because I'm here now. And I'm trying to tell somebody here tonight, you ought to get to know him. I'm not talking about because mama know him, or granddaddy know him, or a sister or brother know him, but you ought to get to know him for yourself. Because I tried him for myself, and can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody treat me like the Lord. And I'm saying, Jesus, as he spoke to them and told them, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid now. God will give us consolation in our trouble.
All right.
So, to get ready.
Work it out.
To leave you tonight.
Yeah.
Won't tell you. I never would have made it.
All right.
Without the Lord.
Yeah.
Here's the Bible. Saint David said, if it had not been for the Lord.
Look it out, man.
On my side.
Yeah.
is young, that a woman young had got caught up in a storm. And the story is young, that the storm came and it tore up their house. And I heard the woman saying to the young boy, she said to her son, young, the government had declared my home a disaster, y'all. But I heard the boy saying, Mama, you telling me that the government had declared your house a disaster. I'm Grab him by the hand. When they pull you, you pull them back. Tell him, I'm pulling you out of your trouble. I'm pulling you out of your despair. I'm pulling you out of your sickness. I'm pulling you out of your bondage. I'm pulling you out of all your trouble. Now tell them, look at me now. I'm better than what I used to be. I'm wider than what I used to be.
Maybe you've been away from the church for 30, 60, 90 days.
the Lord. Amen. Come on, why don't you come on? Give God a big hand of praise. Give our man a hand of praise. Give me an awesome job tonight. Amen. Have you been helped tonight? Because of the word. Amen. Amen. Thank God for him tonight. He's been preaching out of his soul these two nights. And we thank God for using him in a mighty, mighty way. Amen. Amen. Come on, brother. Let's get ready to receive our offering tonight. And as we get ready to come, listen. As we get ready to come, listen. We do so much giving. We give, we give, we give. Do so much giving. But I want to ask you tonight if you would do something with me tonight, that you would sow a seed tonight. Don't just give tonight, but I want you to sow a seed.